Welcome to another Colour and Low Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, recently they had the mid-season draft for the AFL. What do you think of that?
Well, it's great for those players to get picked up for AFL teams. When did they start that, 2019? It's been recent, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been recent. They used to do it in the 1990s because I remember Central's lost a real key player halfway through the 93 season, Linney, and that sort of like was a bit of a shock. Carlton picked him up. And then because of the angst from the SNFL clubs, they stopped doing it for a long time, but they've just recently introduced it again over the last couple of years, and their excuse is to cover injured players.
Well, AFL have big lists, though, don't they?
Like what 38 players.
So you've got to field 22.
Yep.
So you'd have to have a fairly high injury list, wouldn't you?
Well, the way it is now, say there's 38 players, if 37 are fit and there's one injured, they can go in the draft.
So what does history tell us about these guys once they've been picked up? Do they play on a regular basis or do they don't get much footy?
Well, what happens is these guys will play, the ones that go to Victoria will play in the second tier, the old VFA, which is now called the VFL. They'll go out, for argument's sake, the Hawthorn will send them out to Box Hill or whatever, and most of them never get heard of again. And unfortunately, all of these guys don't come back to South Australia.
So Brett Turner from Glenelg, I think 25-year-old.
Yeah.
Being picked up by Adelaide.
Yeah.
Now, if he doesn't play for Adelaide Crows.
He plays for Adelaide Crows.
So he could be playing against his old team.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that doesn't seem right, does it?
It's not right, really. I mean, the thing is, you've got to look, Glenelg and North, right up there with the Eagles is probably the three favourite teams to make the grand final. But now, Glenelg have lost, as you said, Turner, but they've also lost that big, tall defender, Sam Durden.
Sam Durden, who's gone to Carlton.
Yeah. So
North Adelaide, Jacob Bauer. Now, he was originally from New South Wales, I think.
Yes,
he was from
the
Swans Academy. And another guy from Tassie who went to Essendon, Jai Menzie from South Adelaide. So does that sort of – I mean, if I look at the six that have gone from SANFL, two of them are not from Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
So does that sort of tell you that players are looking to play in the highest level that they can play? Now, it's my understanding that if you have to nominate to be in the mid – so is it – so what's wrong with – like if a player has aspirations to play at a higher level, what's wrong with that?
Well, look, they nominate – to go into the drafts, not mid-season, but, you know, before the season. So they have that draft before the season. If they get drafted before the season, that, you know, that's all well and good. You can understand that. But you're going through half a season of SNFL footy. And like I said, Glenelg and North were two of the favourites to make the grand final. Now, Glenelg have lost two players, and their first game after the draft, without those two really good players, they played West Adelaide, who hadn't won a game, and everyone had been, you know, beating West quite comfortably. Glenelg held on to win by 5 points or something like that.
And you think that's because of the draft?
Not only because of the draft, other reasons, but it lends itself to that type of thinking, doesn't it?
It does, and I can see where you're coming from. And we all know that you wear your heart on your sleeve when it comes to SANFL. And I'm not having a go at you about that. I appreciate your passion. But from my perspective, I look at it and say, well, the SANFL competition has already been diminished.
Yeah, so why sort of diminish it further?
But then you go, well, should you stop players? Because it's now this thing, isn't it? It's about individuals versus team or what's best for the team and / the competition. Whereas these players, I imagine, they're strong contributors in their team,
mm-hmm.
but like most players, younger guys, they want to have that opportunity to play at the highest level. And we've got to be honest, the AFL is the highest level for them. So they're going to take that opportunity, aren't they?
How many drafts do you really need? I mean, don't they have a draft sort of late this year after the season finished? Then they have one pre-season next year. Now they've got the mid-season. They've got three bites at the cherry, really. I mean, quite frankly, they only really need one, just one draft. Get everyone sort of that you want. If these kids want to play AFL, give them the opportunity. That's fine. But why disrupt? Why treat the SNFL as a development league. It is a state league. And, you know, quite frankly, the AFL is really an expanded VFL, yet the SNFL and the West Australian Football Leagues, they were all sort of up there with the VFL back in the day.
But as soon as the decision was made to have a national competition, the writing was on the wall. That SNFL, the Waffle, any other league. I mean, if you go back then, I mean, we would imagine the other leagues that were playing at the time were nowhere near as strong as SNFL and the Waffle, were they?
No.
But they obviously probably are stronger now, maybe because of the National League. But as soon as the decision was made to go to that National League, it would be obvious then that every state league is going to become that second tier and therefore become a development league.
I would love to read an honest story about how the AFL developed, because pre-AFL, the AFL was formulated in 1990, which was expanded VFL because all the Victorian teams were in it. Now, one of the reasons they did that was because they had clubs like Footscray, Fitzroy. These types of clubs were struggling financially. So these new clubs that were created, like the Adelaide Crows, the West Coast Eagles, they all bought money. They had to buy licences. I think at the time it was $6 million. And that propped up the other teams like Footscray and teams, Hawthorn and all these types of clubs. Now, previous to the AFL being formed, there was the Australian Football Council that ran football in this country, and they weren't based in Melbourne. All of a sudden, that's gone, and the AFL, which is an expanded VFL, runs out of Melbourne, now run the football in Australia.
That is true. But I imagine there was a lot of politics involved. I don't know. I haven't read about it. But I imagine, like anything like that, there's going to be a lot of politics involved and a lot of people sort of looking for power. But it also, you would seem, if we were still sitting here now without a national league for our country's top tier sport, you would say we'd be that's pretty backwater, isn't it?
Well, look, on the surface, yes. But previous to the AFL being formed, there was State of Origin footy, which was really popular. And that basically is what they have in the rugby, Queensland versus New South Wales, is an annual event which is the pinnacle of their competitions.
But they have their national league.
Yes, they do.
So they have that on top of. Like, I think a lot of us would agree that the loss of State of Origin was detrimental to the sport. But then again, if you are, it's the same thing, isn't it? Like, it's even playing for your country. Like some people, like they're in professional leagues. If you look at soccer, for example, you've got a club is paying someone millions of dollars and then they have to be released for their national duty to play in whatever, you know, international competition. Now, that's for that club and maybe for that player detrimental, because they might play for their country, but they could get injured. Their club is losing them as well. It's the same argument, isn't it? So how do you balance? It's getting this balance right between what is important. Now, obviously, the AFL said, well, we're the most important league, and they're not wrong, are they? They are the biggest league in the competition.
Well, they're the only team in the
competition. They're the national
competition, yeah.
And therefore, players want to play at that level.
Absolutely.
So how do you then do something different apart from saying, can these players not take their spot?
Well, that's their choice, I suppose. But once you put your name in a draft, I think it stays in there for a couple of years. So every draft that comes up, unless you pull your name out of it, you can be drafted. But anyone that's got their name in the draft wants to play at the highest level. Sure. That, you know, and I don't begrudge them that. What I begrudge is mid-season drafts.
But clubs would know that. Like, these clubs would know that. I mean, Glenelg would know that Brett Turner could be picked up in the mid-season draft.
Yeah, it is a reality, but there's one group of people that are left out of this whole equation, and that's the supporters. I mean, there's a lot of people that support the Crows, Port Adelaide, Collingwood, all the other clubs, which is fine. But there's also a lot of hardcore supporters that basically only support their SNFL team. Like, I'm a Central District supporter. I don't follow the AFL. And there'd be many people like me at Centrals and other clubs. So it's really doing them a disservice, because what they're saying is, oh, the VFL, which is the way a lot of people look at it, are going to pinch your players, and there's going to be, you know, no compensation basically.
Well, that I think the compensation is certainly something that should be discussed, because if you're basically Glenelg or any other club have to release that player from their contract, I imagine, so their contract would be null and void. But you would think that there should be some compensation to the clubs involved, and maybe that would be then more beneficial, because maybe those clubs could actually put more money into developing players in their area. Because would SAFL clubs be proud of players that have come through their development ranks and then made it to the AFL?
The SNFL is an organisation, yes. The SNFL is an organisation run by, I mean, for argument's sake, you know, some of the people that have led the SNFL over the last 10, 20 years, they've gone on and accepted AFL jobs, like you know, president of the Adelaide Crows and general manager of Port Power and stuff like that. So their focus is on their own careers rather than what's best for the SNFL. When we used to have guys like Max Bashir and these type of people that love the SNFL and, you know, really sort of went into bat for the SNFL, they're the type of people we need if the SNFL are going to survive all this, because the latest I've heard is that the long-term goal of the AFL is to make the SNFL team sort of part of the Adelaide football competition and with promotion and relegation. I mean, really?
Well, that would be a sad occasion. But I think there's going to be plenty of people fighting for the SNFL, surely.
Yeah, there will be, but there's been a lot of changes that have happened over the last 20, 30 years via the AFL. I mean, we had a very strong under-19 and under-17 competition, but then all of a sudden we had to fall in line with what the AFL wanted and created the under-18s. And, you know, really the impact of that is quite huge, because what would happen at the under-17 level is a lot of the parents would come out with the kids because they never had the driver's licence, and these people became, a certain percentage of them were your colour stewards and your timekeepers and stuff like that would stay with the club. Now with the under-18, most of these kids just drive out.
What about under-16s?
Under-16s until this year has always been just a short type season, like they have under-15 competitions, they have other competition which runs for short periods of time. The under-16s is just that little bit younger than the under-17s. The under-17s tended to be the perfect age because the parents would be really sort of involved in their kids' future at that stage, and they come out to the clubs, and it's a lot easier getting those types of people to be your timekeepers and trainers and all this type of stuff. And I think in talking to a lot of people from other clubs, and they have the same type of argument, that there's a dearth of volunteers. Now, that may not be a repercussion because of that. It might just be generally it's harder to get volunteers, and I concede that is a possibility.
So what do you think the answer is? Because your answer is like, get rid of AFL, but that's not going to happen.
That won't happen. My answer would be, why do you need Port Power and LA Crows to play in the SNFL? Because with them in the competition, all the media look at it as a development league. You get rid of those two teams so that we can, the SNFL can sort of stand on its own two feet as a viable competition and perhaps expand, bring in Mount Barker team or Riverland team or whatever, just to give it that bit of variety. And I think that would be the future of the competition. But you cannot lose your title as the number one state league in South Australia.
Do you think they're going to lose that?
Well, there's a lot's happened over the last 20 years that I didn't think would happen. You know, things like the Crows and the Power in our competition, that's something I would never have dreamed of.
But the Crows being in but Port Adelaide were always in the competition.
Yeah, but it's different now because you're still playing 18, 19 AFL players who are professional footballers against semi-professional footballers who work 9 to 5. It's just, you know, and the night games especially. If you're working all day and then you're playing Port Adelaide in a night game, Port Adelaide got a huge advantage because they'll be rested all day.
That's true.
So what's your answer to it?
I don't have an answer to it.
Well, quite frankly, I don't either.
It's all, a lot of these things can be quite frustrating and sad, because you can see across the world in all sorts of areas, big corporations, big competitions, the things that get their media interest are always going to win, and tradition will end up being beaten.
You know, at the end of the day, without sounding like a defeatist, I've got to sort of accept the reality that, you know, the way it is the way it's going to go, and there's nothing I as an individual can do. And, I mean, while Central District is still playing, I go and support my club, but I don't enjoy going to football the way I used to, because the type of football they're playing isn't like the type of football I really love, but it's my club, so I still go out to support them. I try to encourage them as much as I can, but it's just not the same sort of type of football. The game is changing.
It is changing, and I think as the population changes too, I think the writing is on the wall for SANFL, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I just hope that Central's can remain competitive. Anyway, so it's another Cut On Late Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.